programs like TIM, that you can test a lot of codes and it works perfectly, and there is a function that nobody is calling at this time, but someday somebody is calling and you get a runtime error and it's there.
Yeah.
And that makes it difficult for big programs, and it's very good that you get compile time errors. And there is things that has better in Python. Now you can give types for the variables in the function. For example, you can write after name that colon string as str.
Yeah, but the interpreter doesn't take it into account.
It does.
Not yet.
At least in TIM we get. I don't know if there's some pre-compiler or what, but we get errors of those problems.
Uh-huh.
Somehow.
Maybe. I do not use yet these types.
Yeah,
I don't really like its syntax.
You need to write more, and I know every Python people will hate it, but if they are making a bigger program, it will make the quality better.
Sure.
And it's almost always that when you need to write more things, it's irritating, but the quality is much more important.
Mm-hmm. Here is an example of the previously mentioned problem. Here I want to call the function doesn't exist, which doesn't exist. But since the condition is false, this branch is not executed. So I can run the program without any problem. If it were a compiled language, it wouldn't even compile. But if the branch is executed, then I get an error. So this is a problem with Python or with interpreted languages.
I said that the compiler tells it. Our IDE.
Yeah, this is the IDE that takes it into account.
What we are using as IDE, it underlines those wrong types.
Mm-hmm. But the compiler ignores.
Yeah, maybe the compiler ignores, but if you look your IDE, mm-hmm. what it says, it warns you all those bad things.
These types are a big help for the compiler, for the IDE. I would like you to write a small program. So this is the name of a method. It should print this name 5 times. Okay. However, if you call it differently, if you set debug to be true, then you should print some extra lines, some debug information. For instance, loop starts, then print the name 5 times, and at the end, another debug information, loop ends. So debug is an optional parameter and implement this method that should work this way. I didn't mention the naming conventions in Python. Variable names are in lowercase, and if the name consists of several words, they are connected with an underscore. And we use this naming convention in the name of methods and functions also. So for instance, the function that decides if a string is a palindrome or not, it would be called is underscore palindrome. So there is an underscore between the words, and every word is in lowercase. But when we use if, the body should go in the next line.
Sorry?
So if debug column, there should be a new line.
Oh, okay.
And print, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Would you write that for us? Now we have the for loop.
Almost.
In range. Very good. Thank you. So, debug is an optional parameter. We said that if we want to call it like this, loop packa 5, it should print simply packa 5 times. However, if we set this optional parameter to be true, we want to see two more extra lines. So, let's see the first case. We call it with packa and 5. The debug parameter is not set. So, the debug parameter will take the default value, which is false. Name is packa, repeat is 5, and debug will be false. If debug, so since debug is false, this if statement will be false, so as if it not were here. The for loop is executed, we print it 5 times. Debug is false again, so it's not executed, we just print the name 5 times. Let's see the other call. We set debug to be true, so it will be true. We print the extra line. Again, we print the name 5 times. And since debug is true, we also print this extra line. Very often I see the following, that, for instance, debug is a Boolean variable this time. I see this very often. It is also good, but it is too verbose. Since the type of debug is Boolean, it is perfectly enough to write simply if debug. Or if you want to test if it's false, I also see this a lot. It can also be simplified. How to simplify it? If not debug. This is better. Good. Let's solve exercise 6. Sum square difference. 818F is the end. Here again, we have an example with the first 10 natural numbers. We have an example and we have the solution. And the question is, what is the case with the first 100 natural numbers? So again, we can use the constant. We set it to 10. We make the program. And if we get the good value, then very likely our program works well, and then at the end just modify the constant and you are done. Try to use list comprehensions if you can.
I got a t-shirt. That's good.
So let's use a global constant, n equals 10. You can also check the result if you click on this icon and then you paste the result. It will tell you if it's correct or not. Can you write the first one? The sum of the squares. So let's see the first. The sum of the squares. Can you explain what's going on here?
Here are all the numbers.
From zero, actually, zero, but it's not a problem. Oh, let's go from one, because it will go from zero.